They will ask you for things, and then every now and then, if you say something, they may or may not quite get it the way that you said it. Well, maybe that was the way the email got there. Something got lost in the translation, evidently. Exodus chapter 26 is where we'll be this morning. We are looking, like I said, I did not realize next Sunday was Easter, but this is probably one of the best lessons for the timing that we can possibly have. We are looking this morning at the veil that separates the Holy of Holies from the holy place. Very appropriate lesson for this time of the year. Let's go ahead and open with prayer and we'll jump right in. Dear Lord, we do thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity that you give us to gather together and to worship you and study your word, Lord. And we just ask that you would be with us this morning as we examine the veil of the tabernacle, Lord, and just be able to see how used that veil was in the resurrection or the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. This morning we finally get to the Holy of Holies. We have started our study of the tabernacle. We've looked at the outer wall, the outer curtains. We have come through the front gate. We've come by the brazen altar. We've come by the laver. We finally came to the door that leads into the tabernacle proper. We have examined the furniture inside the holy place. And now we have come to a veil that separates us from the Holy of Holies. And really, the Holy of Holies was the whole purpose of the tabernacle. Or the whole purpose of the tabernacle was so that God might dwell in the midst of his people. The reason God wanted the tabernacle built was so that he could dwell in the Holy of Holies. He could dwell then in the midst of his people. And God's Shekinah glory remained in the Holy of Holies, this rear one-third of the tabernacle proper, where it was guarded, if you will, with golden walls on three sides and a heavy veil on the inside. In this hidden windowless room, the presence of God dwelt with the children of Israel. Now, that can be a little hard for us to understand just how magnificent this was. You had God himself, his presence, dwelling in this room. I mean, if you can just imagine what it must have been like to the Hebrews to be out in the wilderness, but know that in this one little particular room, the presence of Almighty God dwelt. And in this room, everything else, maybe I should say, about the tabernacle was intended to point men to this one particular room. Everything else about the tabernacle pointed to the presence of God. Many people came through the gate with their sacrifices. They would come through the gate into the courtyard of the tabernacle. They brought their sacrifices. However, most of the people had to stop at that point. They could only go so far. Most could never go past the brazen altar. They couldn't even go to the laver, much less into the holy place. They could not go into the presence of God. They had to be represented by the priest who could go into the holy place. But even then, only the high priest could go past this inner veil that we are going to look at this morning, entering into the most holy place, the most sacred place, known as the Holy of Holies. But even with that, the high priest could only enter this room one time a year, and that time had to be on the Day of Atonement. Only once a year could the high priest enter into the presence of God to make intercession for the people. And what we're going to look at this morning, we're going to examine the veil that separated the Holy of Holies from the rest of the holy place. It's in Exodus chapter 26, verse 31. "And thou shalt make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen of cunning work. With cherubims shall it be made. And thou shalt hang it upon four pillars of shittim wood, overlaid with gold. Their hooks shall be of gold, upon the four sockets of silver. And thou shalt hang up the veil under the tax, that thou mayest bring in thither within the veil the ark of the testimony. And the veil shall divide unto you between the holy place and the most holy." So we're told here that the veil covered the entrance to the tabernacle's innermost room that we call the Holy of Holies. And behind that veil was only one piece of furniture. And we're going to look at that in a couple of weeks. But there was only one piece of furniture. It was the Ark of the Covenant. And so you had really the veil separating the two rooms in the tabernacle proper. Now, the first room that we spent some time in is called the Holy Place. It was 30 feet long and 15 feet wide. The innermost room, the Holy of Holies, was cube-shaped. It was 15 feet long and 15 feet wide. And the veil that divided the Holy Place and the Holy of Holies, the Bible tells us, will be upheld by four pillars of acacia or shittim wood that would be overlaid with gold. And so you have these four columns. You have rings at the top that the veil would be hung from, and it would separate the holy place from the most holy, or the Holy of Holies. Now, the veil was much like the gate and the door, except it, if you remember as we studied, we talked about the gate at the outside into the very entrance into the courtyard. Then we had a door, if you will, which was another curtain that brought you into the Holy of Holies. The veil that we're looking at today was much like that, except it had one major difference. Embroidered on the veil were cherubims. Now, cherubims, if you study, if you just wanted to do a case study, if you will, of cherubims, you would realize that cherubims were angels that protect, especially protect the holiness of God. We don't find cherubims mentioned very often, but when they are used, they are powerful beings that always represent the holiness of God. Well, on the veil, they represented the protection of the inner room. They are, if you will, the protectors to keep mankind from entering into the presence of God. They represented protection of the inner room where God was, and the penalty for anyone other than Moses or the high priest entering into the Holy of Holies was death. If anyone else entered that room, they would die. And the cherubims represent, you know, the embroidered cherubims kind of represent the power and the protection then of God against sinful man. The veil, therefore, kept everyone from God's presence. The veil was there. All but one day a year, that veil kept man separated from the presence of God. That's critical to understanding the importance of this lesson. Now, this was in the tabernacle in the wilderness. But after the wanderings and the establishment of the nation of Israel, Solomon is going to build the first permanent building, which we call the temple, to house the furniture of the tabernacle. So Solomon builds the temple, and the furniture from the tabernacle will go into the temple. The temple then also had a holy place, and it had a Holy of Holies. And between the two, there was the veil that would separate the two. Look over at 2 Chronicles Second Chronicles, chapter 3, verse 14. It says simply, "And he made the veil of blue and purple and crimson and fine linen and wrought cherubims thereon." Now, this is Solomon when he builds his temple. If you read back a little bit, this is amazing how fantastically wonderful Solomon's temple is. Look back at verse 9. This is a sidetrack. "And the weight of the nails was 50 shekels of gold. And he overlaid the upper chambers with gold. And in the most holy house he made two cherubims of image work and overlaid them with gold. And the wings of the cherubims were 20 cubits long. One wing of the one cherubim was 5 cubits reaching to the wall of the house. And the other wing was likewise 5 cubits reaching to the wing of the other cherub. And one wing of the other cherub was 5 cubits reaching to the wall of the house. And the other wing was 5 cubits also joining to the wing of the other cherub. The wings of these cherubs spread themselves forth 20 cubits. And they stood on their feet, and their faces were inward." When I wish we could see Solomon's temple and just how magnificent this really was. These cherubims were monstrous. They held up, if you will, the ceiling. And they're covered in gold. I mean, this had to be the most spectacular sight when Solomon built his temple, and he built this Holy of Holies inside his temple. Thing was, nobody could see it because the veil was still there. The veil, even inside the temple, separated man from God. Now, let's look over to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, verse 50. We're talking about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Verse 50 says, "Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent." Now, the Bible tells us that when Jesus died on the cross, at the moment he died, the veil of the temple was ripped in half, was torn in two from the top to the bottom. Now, if you stop and think about what's going on in Jerusalem at the time, Jesus Christ died at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And at that very moment, this veil, well, at that very moment, at the time that Jesus Christ would have died, since this was Passover week, back at the temple, there would be the sacrifice that would be the sacrifice that the blood would be taken in to the Holy of Holies and sprinkled on the mercy seat. This was the Day of Atonement. And if you think of what's going on in Jerusalem at all the time, it's the week of Passover. Multitudes of people have come to Jerusalem, and they have gathered at the temple. The outer court would have been full of people crowding around the door and the gates that are going to lead into the sanctuary. Now, can you picture this scene that's going on in Jerusalem? The priest, in his colorful vestments, has his sacrificial knife. He has the lamb that is to be sacrificed before the brazen altar. And for hundreds of years, they've been slaughtering this lamb on this one particular day, and they've been taking the blood and taking it into the Holy of Holies, where the high priest would take it, and then one time a year be allowed to enter into that Holy of Holies, to sprinkle that blood on the altar. That's what they're expecting to see happen today. This lamb's blood is about to be shed at the hour of 3 o'clock. Multitudes of people are watching what's going on. Well behind the priest hangs the veil hiding the inner sanctuary. Behind that veil, cherubim spread their wings over the mercy seat. God himself, evidenced by his Shekinah glory, would be there. People would be bending to get a glimpse of that beautiful veil. Maybe when the priest went into the Holy of Holies, maybe when the priest went into the holy place and they drew that curtain back just for a moment, the average person standing out in the courtyard just might get a glimpse inside the holy place. They thought maybe they could get a glimpse at that veil that separates them from the presence of God, that beautiful veil of white, scarlet, blue, and purple embroidered with golden cherubims. No one could enter behind that veil except the high priest, and they knew that he could only go in once a year, and today would be that day. The eye of everyone there would be directed toward that veil. The hour of three arrives. The priest takes the sacrificial knife and is about to slay the lamb when suddenly an unseen hand tears the veil from top to bottom. As they are preparing to offer that sacrifice, that veil is ripped. It is torn open. The mercy seat, unseen by ordinary man before that time, is now open to view. The cherubims are there. The Ark of the Covenant, sprinkled with blood, is there. They are looking into the Holy of Holies. For the first time, common, sinful man can look into the Holy of Holies. You have to wonder, did the priest drop the knife? Did the lamb go free? Now that the lamb slain from the foundation of the world has died for all mankind? You have to wonder what happened at that moment when that veil was torn from top to bottom. But the way into the Holy of Holies is now opened. That veil that separated man from God has now been ripped apart. It has now been ripped in two, and man would never again put up a veil that would block the way to God. When the tabernacle was moved, the mercy seat, the veil would actually be taken, folded, and it would cover the mercy seat, again blocking access to God. But never again would the situation be where only a priest could enter into God's presence. A way whereby humanity, oppressed and downtrodden from all over the world, could find a way to the mercy seat. A way had been paved, if you will. A way had been opened for everyday man to be able to go into the very presence of God. What would be a simple curtain separated man from the presence of God. But on the moment that Jesus Christ died on the cross, that veil is going to be ripped apart. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Got to hurry here. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 14 says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. That veil no longer separates us from God. That veil was torn in half. Jesus Christ then becomes our avenue, if you will, so that we can go into the very presence of God. Hebrews 9:8 tells us that during the Old Testament time, before Jesus came to die as man's sacrifice, the Bible says the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest. And so by that, the veil was only meant to be temporary. God never intended for there to be a permanent separation of man from his presence. The veil was only meant to be temporary until the way of God was made clear by Jesus Christ and his ultimate sacrifice at Calvary. The veil would only be temporary until Jesus Christ was the ultimate sacrifice at Calvary. In Exodus 26:33, God said that they were to hang up the veil, that thou may bring thither within the veil the Ark of the Covenant. Now, the Ark of the Covenant was God's dwelling place in the tabernacle. The Holy of Holies was behind the veil and was the place of God. It's where God was going to dwell. Remember, two cherubims with outspread wings gazed down on God's mercy seat. We'll look at this more in a couple of weeks, which covered the Ark of the Covenant, becoming its lid or cover. So there in the actual presence of Almighty God over the mercy seat, there was such an intense and celestial experience that the high priest was only allowed to enter once a year. And again, only with the blood of atonement. So strict, I guess I could use the word there, was God on this point that the slightest mistake on the part of the high priest could bring immediate death. The high priest actually wore bells at the bottom of his robe so that those who were outside in the holy place could listen and hear him moving. And if they could hear the bells, they would know that he is still alive. That's how magnificent, how powerful it was to be able to go into the presence of God. This is the high priest. But if he went into the presence of God without following all of God's directions, if he went into the presence of God, if he went into that Holy of Holies and he made any kind of mistake, he would die immediately. And they would listen. And my understanding is they actually had a rope tied to the foot. Because if he dies in there, you can't go get him. You cannot go in there to get him out. Because if you go in, you will die. And so that's how magnificent this experience was to be able to go into the presence of God. And imagine all of these decades, all these centuries, where only the high priest, one time a year, could go for just a few minutes into the presence of God. And then Jesus Christ died on a cross, and that veil was ripped in half. And me and you and all believers have received the message that we can now enter into the presence of God. I don't think sometimes we stop and realize how unbelievably blessed we are for that. How many Jews throughout the Old Testament wished they could go just into the holy place, but could never go? How many knew of the veil, but knew that that veil stood between them and the presence of God? The only hope they had was that their high priest one time a year for them could go into the presence of God in that Holy of Holies. But Jesus has opened a way for each of us. We can worship. We're able to go in and praise. We can intercede. We can listen without the aid of a priest or any other individual. We have, because of Jesus Christ, the ability, we can go into the presence of God. Sadly for many today, the veil does not seem to be torn. 2 Corinthians 3:15 and 16 tells us, but even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their hearts. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. When for many people today, they still do not believe that they can go into the presence of God. There is still a veil there that separates them from God's presence. Part of our great commission, part of the great commission, part of us reaching our world for Christ is that we can tell them, you can, in fact, go into the presence of God. You can, if you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, if He becomes your high priest, you can go into the presence of God. A lot of times, like I said, I believe we overlook just how special that privilege is. To be able to take our prayers, to be able to take our burdens, to be able to intercede on behalf of someone else, and we can take that directly into the presence of God. The average Jew walking around in the wilderness at the tabernacle could go no further than the altar. Because of Jesus Christ, we have recognized His sacrifice at the altar. We hopefully have gone to the brazen laver and we have examined ourselves. We have been able to go into the holy place, and we can go into the presence of God because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Lord, again, we do thank You so much for this day, Lord. We thank You for this lesson on this veil, Lord, and just how much of a blessing it is that we can approach the throne of God, Lord, with our burdens, with our prayers, Lord, and Lord, we thank You so much for the sacrifice that You made that made it possible for us to go into the presence of God, Lord. We just ask that You would help us to strive, Lord, daily to come before You and ask for cleansing and, Lord, that we would prepare ourselves as we should before we go into the presence of God. Lord, we just ask that You would just help us to keep this blessing before us, especially in this week that's coming up, Lord, as we focus on Easter and the price that Jesus Christ paid for each of us, Lord. We just thank You so much for the sacrifice that was made. And Lord, we just ask that You would be with Pastor this morning as He brings a message. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.